It's time for the End of Conversation Podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon. Yeah. And this is In the Conversation. This week, Muhammad is out this week, but you know, we got a friend of the show, family of the show, one of the favorites, our arts and leisure correspondent, the Don from the DMV. We got my man Chris Lambert, co-hosted. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to chop it up.
No doubt, man. Good to hear from you, man. How you feeling? What's the latest with you?
Oh, man, I've been doing good. I'm just a little tired in a good way, like just like the grind with work and auditions and shows and writing and life-lifing and, you know, just I feel accomplished. But some of those accomplishments, you kind of feel you kind of feel like I could use some more sleep. But you got to keep going. You know how we got to do as black men.
But get some rest too, though. Make sure you put the rest in there. You know that shit is important. But it's real, man. It's a good thing the way you accomplishing shit to the point to where you're tired. That's good shit.
Yeah.
That's yeah. You know what I mean? That's that mountaintop shit. You know what I'm saying?
I never know if people get the reference of Tom Hanks at the end of Captain Phillips, where he's like he's been saved from the pirates, the Haitian pirates, and then he's like crying but he's happy, and it's a mixture of everything that happened to him. I don't know. Look at the end. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere, but at the end of that movie, sometimes that's how you feel.
That's a very specific reference. If y'all got that, let us know in the comments, because that one is, I'm going to have to restream that to remember that. I don't remember much about that movie outside of I am the captain now. That's about all
basically,
I remember.
That's that part. And then at the end, because I could tell at the end, because like it was like, damn, I think it came out the same year as 12 Years a Slave. And when you think about like the Oscar race, you're like, damn, is Tom Hanks gonna come through at the end and hit a buzzer beater and get that trophy, take a trophy from somebody? And he didn't that year, but you know, it was just one of those performances of him that was great. But the reason I say that is because my mother, I got an HVAC system installed last year around this time, around Thanksgiving time, because we had one. I was like 20 years old, and it just conked out, and it couldn't fix it. It got condemned by the county. So it's like, Mom, you need another HVAC system. You need another one. So we finally got it, and then it's just been having issues. And I've been trying to figure out how to get, you know, it's under warranty and everything. And just to get the electrician out there, it took almost a month. Thank God it hasn't been cold, but it was just like, it's getting cold, and they have problems with like they was calling the wrong number, and the guy finally came, and he figured out what the issue was, and so my mother's got heat, so that made me feel like Captain Phillips, and Tom Hanks at the end of that joint. So I was happy that that's taken care of. Is she gonna have some other problems for me when I'm there to visit her in a couple of days? Of course she is. But that main thing, it's going to be in a warm house.
There it is.
You know, so I'm good with that. I'm happy.
Yeah, moms ain't freezing. That's the reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, basically. Nah, for sure. The season.
Oh, okay. I was about to keep going with treason or some weird bar, but it didn't really make sense. But yeah, man, I'm glad to hear that your mom's is warm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And you're an HVAC hero. You know, that's what's up.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, though. Now that you brought up Tom Hanks. Now, Tom Hanks is a heavyweight A-list actor. You know, he's up there, one of the best of this generation. But as you was just saying that, I was thinking about it, I feel like it's been kind of quiet for Tom Hanks recently. And I know you're a film buff. Like you are a certified cinephile. I be fronting. Like, you watch all types of shit. So maybe something is kind of going under the radar. But do you agree that Tom has been away for a minute, or am I forgetting something that he's been in recently?
The last joint that he did was a man that I remember was A Man Called Otto in 2022.
Mm.
And let me see if I could be wrong, but that was the last one I remember. And I remember it's just kind of like a small joint. Maybe they tried to push it for awards or something, but it's a movie that you will watch and be like, okay.
Yeah, that was just that.
You know?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, it's not like this shit. Like, this shit is whack. It's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Nice little story.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, he's been quiet.
Yeah, I'm looking at trying to find an IMDb, but I don't IMDb with this filter thing. This kind of weird. But he was in the Phoenician Scheme. Had a small part in that this year. The movie called Here, where he was He kind of been around, but nothing that was like that was pushing him
right
for Oscar type shit.
The last time I remember even thinking about maybe he might catch an Oscar was when he did the Mr. Rogers film. I was like, yes. This could be one of them, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that the name of it? Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood?
Yeah. Mario Heller directed it. She directed me in, oh my God. Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Oh, right. With homegirl. What's my girl's name? Funny as shit.
Melissa McCarthy.
Yes. There it is, man. Salute. Young thespian. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, dude. What was I going to tell you? It almost reminded me of some other shit. Speaking of movies that you just turn on and it is what it is. I watched, what is it? Caught Stealing? The Austin.
Yeah.
That shit was just okay. It was a little too convoluted for what was going on. And the thing, the little trope with the cat throughout the movie was just a little too much. It was a little over the top. What did you think? I know this is an old movie, but what you think?
It's not old. It was a late summer.
I'm sure, you know, you talked about it. Maybe.
I enjoyed it, man. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Like, because to me, I didn't like what, I mean, I don't want to spoil. I mean, I don't know if we're spoiling, but I mean.
Go ahead.
I'll just say I didn't like Zoe Kravitz's arc.
Oh, okay.
It was fun because, like, you know, man, like Darren Aronofsky is, I mean, his shit is usually heavy.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that my man was very charming. I didn't know my man Austin Butler.
Uh-huh.
I thought he was pretty charming. Right. Not just a like pretty face, because everything else that I've seen him in, that Bikers movie, he's just like kind of one note smoldering. I'm just gonna be like brooding the whole time. But I felt like this one was pretty fun, and I liked Regina King. It was some interesting swerves that happened. So I saw it like before. I think I saw like a, you know, one of those advanced screenings that AMC has, mm-hmm. and just saw it on like, I think maybe like a Saturday night. I was like, I fuck with this. Like I don't know. It was just, I was gonna, and most people that like listen to me on your show or listen to my pod, I'm kind of positive, but like I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
All right. Well, that's what's up. Yeah, I thought it was okay. I thought it was just okay. I did think Homie Shine, this is the first time I've really ever seen him in anything. I didn't watch Elvis.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I didn't even know about the biker movie that you're talking about. I'm not even sure what that is, but I have to check that out.
The Bike Riders.
Oh, no, that don't even sound like some shit I would watch. That's a terrible name. The Bike Riders. I wish I was in that ideation just to shit on it. Like, come on, y'all, what we doing? But I just thought that it was cool. He was, to your point, it was a good look for him, you know, like to kind of build him as like one of these new leading men. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I, to my point, like, again, I just felt like it was just a little convoluted, a little all over the place. They could have cut a few different things out. You know, and I got that whole thing with the cat It's just a little much. I don't want to give too much of away, you know, away. If y'all go ahead and watch it, or if you've seen it, you know, chop it up, jump in the comments, let me know, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it was just one of those things that I just kind of stumbled upon, and I was like, yo, let me put this on. Yeah. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad, but it just, I think also because I had heard so much about it, you know, like, so I think I was expecting a little bit more. I know they were talking about, yo, they captured the, not the Lower East Side, but you're like, I guess like the East Village, Alphabet City and all of that. You know, they kind of brought back the 90s or whatever. It didn't feel that 90s. It felt almost like damn near the same shit. You know what I'm saying? Just a little, you know, the set design wasn't what I was expecting. But anyway, I ain't even really need to start leading with grievances and shit. But that's what's going on. Today is election day. You just told me you voted. What you voting for over there? What's going on?
Shit, I done forgot.
Oh, shit.
All right, well. Like some councilmen, council people.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, yeah. And school district folks.
Oh, you all in.
Yeah.
That's what's up. You making a change. Yeah. I ain't
yeah. That. Yeah. Local level type shit. Yeah. Type shit. young, man. Yeah. Trying to hold him, trying to be
chill. don't say 6'7" after that. You know.
No.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Do you embrace your unk? You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. Like okay. It's nice if people want my opinion on something. I don't mind it, but I never I'm in the middle of listening to Roy Wood's audiobook. He had a line where he was talking about how sometimes it's a lot of like where he comes from. Where he came from is like some people can't wait to tell, like a black man can't wait to tell you what another young black man what to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's different. It's and as he said, he didn't want to be like that. You know, like some, it's like just kind of extracting. I mean, I'm like kind of paraphrasing, but like that animosity towards younger people. I never want to have that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't mind it at all getting old.
Okay. Yeah. And what's the name of Roy's book? The Man of Many Fathers?
Son of Many Fathers.
Son of Many Fathers. Shout out to Roy.
It's really good.
My thing is, and I don't look at, and then that is true. That is true.
Oh, sorry. The Man of Many Fathers.
Okay, bet. Yes. Yeah. There's a spectrum to unkdom, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, me and Muhammad over here, I think we recognize the fact that we are in that demo. You know what I'm saying? Like then now there's a lot that goes on in that demo. It's just like any other demo, right? But you know, one of the things that I realized. And I understand what Roy's talking about as far as that whole, you know, let me tell you little motherfuckers some shit. You know what I'm saying? That whole on high, you know what I mean? And oftentimes the cat that's saying all that probably ain't even do a whole lot with their life many times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, you know, that ain't even the activity that I'm going to even participate in. What I'm going to say is I was just sometimes I'm so like content with being disconnected from certain youth movements. Like I've been seeing, you know, this 6'7" thing being talked about. Right. And I see it coming up and I've seen little reels or whatever, but I truly don't really understand it. I've even seen like a trend piece or something that was kind of going to explain it. And I was like, I'm cool. You know what I mean? I don't even need Go ahead. What were you about to say?
The only reason I know about it is because there's the kid, Taylan Kinney, who is Mr. 6'7", and he popularized it because I felt like he had something to do with it because I just happened to be watching Overtime Elite. There's a series on Amazon that follows these kids, basketball players, students, at this Overtime Academy in Atlanta where they prep kids to go to the NBA, like Amen and Nasir Thompson. One of them, they're two twins, one plays for the Rockets, one plays for the Pistons. They famously attended that school. And so there's this kid named Taylan Kinney who I believe started it.
So and you just informed the whole shit. I didn't know anything about. Was my man named Taylor Kenny?
Taylen Kenny, T-A-Y-L-E-N, Kenny, K-I-N-N-E-Y.
Okay.
So I think he is the one of the people that started, and then it's like there's maybe like a rapper that may have something to do with it. I just didn't go back to the Amazon series to research it even further. I just knew that like that kid had something to do with it.
Okay.
But yeah, he was 6'7", but like, yeah, that's how I know.
I don't even know what that means though, but that's my point. I'm still cool with not knowing what it means. Sometimes I just say, I don't need to participate in that. That's not even for me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let that be what it is. Let that phenomenon go however long it goes. You know what I mean? I see it on the periphery, but I haven't linked in. So, I mean, shout out to Taylen Kenny. I didn't know that. I don't know what 6'7" means. If y'all know about it, you want to inform me, you could do that. But I'm cool with not knowing. And I'm, you know what I mean? Like, I just realized I don't need to participate in that. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm at that point. Well, I've said before, I don't really get FOMO as much anymore. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not trying to jump on every little thing just to kind of.
To be cool, to try.
Yeah, it don't look good when you're trying. You know what I mean? When you try hard, that's when you die hard. As the man known as Ye said way back in the day when people fucked with him. So you voted today. That's what's up. You did your civic duty. I voted. I voted a couple days ago, did the early voting. It's been a long ass, feels like it's been a long election cycle on this side, especially for the mayor, the mayor situation. And I don't know who's had a better rollout, the Clips or Zoran Mondami. But I'm curious to see how it all lands. I feel like the dude got a lot of momentum, you know, but it's one thing about corruption and money. Is shit can you know, sponsor a hell of a plot twist. So we will see. I feel as though he's going to be the new New York City mayor, but we will see. We will see. It should be interesting. It should be interesting to see what it is. And, that's that. You know what I mean? And then speaking of voting and everything, you know, you say you listen to Roy Wood Jr.'s book. I've been listening to the Kamala book, the 107, 107 days. Okay. And it's all right. It's all right. It's some shit on there. You know, some shit on there. I made it sound like it was a record. She's spitting. She talking that shit. Nah. But it's
type shit.
Yeah, it's type shit. Exactly. It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting. I listen to it to fall asleep. No shots at her. But that's just kind of what I do sometimes with some of these audio books. Some of these audio books are like, I just use that as like background noise. So I definitely fall asleep too, and I find myself like rewinding. So it's taking me forever to get through it. It's, you know.
She does it herself, right?
She does it herself, which is always my preference, you know.
Especially, me too.
You know what I mean? But, it's interesting. It's interesting. I've been listening to a lot of her podcast interviews, and you know, it feels a little bit more relaxed than when she was, you know, campaigning, you know.
Yeah.
And even back then, I was saying that, you know, I thought that she wasn't faring well when she was campaigning because she was so buttoned up. I kept requesting the mixtape Kamala. You know, that's what I always referred to her when she was like, eating cats up in these debates back in the days, that she was just a little bit more like, fuck it, you know?
Yeah.
So just hearing kind of some of that unpacked and like what she had to consider and how, you know, how she felt like maybe she wasn't supported by the Biden team and, you know, all of these other various things that kind of, you know, I guess played into the loss. You know, and you know, it's always interesting to hear people kind of unpack the loss, you know, because, you know, it's you listen, but that, you know, it's also like, I don't know. It's you know, there's a certain level of great. I hate to say it, you know, America's for the winners. Unfortunately,
yeah.
You know, if they
you had a great bit about that, about what you were doing, at least.
Oh we yeah, were, yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
were working together.
Mm-hmm.
You yeah. still do it or?
Not as much anymore. Just because yeah. I feel like the sting is over. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like it was topical. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I don't think people. I think people have moved on a certain level. You know, and it is what it is. But it was fun to do when I was doing it. But yes, I've been listening to that shit. And
yeah, I gotta get that one.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. Yeah. But anyway, what else is going on with you, man?
I had a fun weekend. My girlfriend and I went to Poughkeepsie to a haunted house. She wanted to do that over, during the Halloween fall season. So my manager, my like comedy acting manager, was telling me about it. I was like, oh. And I was just telling her, I was like, we ought to make a weekend out of it. I get a hotel, we check out a couple of restaurants, and, you know, we have dinner, check out a nice place, and then go to the haunted mansion. And it was fun. It's up there in Poughkeepsie, not far from Laugh It Up Comedy Club.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good time. It was fun. My coworkers was telling me, they're like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? I was like, my girlfriend and I are going to, and they were like, yeah, don't make sure you don't get scared because she might break up with you.
Hilarious. Yeah.
If I got scared. Yeah.
Did you thug it out?
I did. I had on all black. I had on my black coat and a black fitted. And that was good. Oh. And, you know.
I meant just as far as moving through. I didn't even mean your fit. I meant like, well, did you hold your shit together? Yeah, you was ready. Let me ask you a question. Was this, because I've never been to any of these like live action haunted houses.
Neither have I. This is my first time.
Now, was this one of the ones where you kind of got to sign a waiver beforehand or no?
No, I didn't sign a waiver. I just bought the tickets and we drove up there, and then, you know, they did have like a, I got an email with some like disclaimers and stuff, but it wasn't anything really serious. And then once the woman who, like, the host, like, she said, before you go in, and da-da-da-da, she's like, they won't touch you, and you don't touch them. And I was like, oh, good. Once I figured that out, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
That was my next question. Yeah.
Yeah. So they, you know, it was one point. It's funny, because when they let you take pictures and at the beginning, and as we were getting ready to take a picture, this lady ran up on me. I was like, no. And then I was like, hey. I was like, we starting already? I was like, we can't, me and my lady can't just take a picture. And she was trying to get in the picture. There was one where she was in the picture. I was like, all right, mom. And it's a picture of me, like, giving her the Denzel, all right, bro. You know, like the holding somebody back type shit. But, like, it's fun. It was a good time, man.
All right, that sounds cool. And you walked through it. It's a walkthrough haunted house.
Yeah, and it was outside. Yeah, so it was a walkthrough. And then it was maybe about a half an hour. Oh. I walked through, they had the actors come out, and, you know, people in costumes, and they tell their little tales. And, you know, it was some kids with us in the group who were like, couldn't have been no more than 7, 8 years old. I was impressed by them. Like, they did not get scared at all. So it was cool, man. It was something different. I had never done anything like that, because my thing was, like, I was aiming to go to a concert, and then I was like, well, let me actually be a good partner and do something that my girlfriend wants to do.
Mm. Oh, she wanted to, that was something she suggested?
Yeah, that was something she wanted to do, because I remember on our first date, she was like, yeah, I'd like to go in a haunted mansion this season.
Mm.
You know, I'd love to do it. I was like, all right, we should do that. So it was good. Ate at some nice restaurants. There's one place in town, in Poughkeepsie, called Farmers and Chefs. That was really good. We had pasta. there, and it was really, really good. Everything I think is sourced from local farms in the area. And then the next day, we went to Kingston, and we went to this place called Ship to Shore, which is in their downtown area. Just a nice chill place. Yeah, it was fun. We had a good time.
That's what's up.
They came back and did some shows at Bananas. Nice. On Saturday and Sunday.
Nice. Sound like real wholesome. Wholesome relationship shit. That's what's up. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Autumn love. You know what I mean? That's nice. That's fly. Yeah. That's fly.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. That's what it is. Oh man, I didn't do shit this week. Did I do anything? I'm trying to think. I got up, did a few shows. Where did I go? I think I did something. I always forget half the time. I gotta look through my camera, my little.
And look at your phone.
Yeah.
And like,
oh man,
yeah,
I was there. I did that. Yeah. I didn't really do too much. I guess I was around the crib, kind of. Besides, if I got up, I was chilling. Like I was really leaning into like doing nothing. I cleaned the crib a little bit. What was I doing? I was watching a lot of I was watching a lot of Pop the Balloon. I got on a good Pop the Balloon binge. I've never watched a full episode of Pop the Balloon before, right? So like, you see the clips all the time, and then, well, maybe I'm lying, maybe I have, but okay. So you see the clips all the time, and then if you click on one clip, especially on YouTube, then they start serving them up to you, but they serve them up with the, like, it's through somebody else. It's somebody else's take on, you know, what happened on the show.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they react to it.
Yeah. Show. And sometimes the reactions are cool. Sometimes they're you know, unnecessary or whatever. So I was looking at quite a few of the reactions, and I said, you know what, let me go to the real deal. Let me go to Arlette's page, right? This is who does the whole thing. Let me go in and see what's what. And there was some good ones. There was some funny shit. But then beyond that, even before I got into that Arlette fucking binge, about maybe a week or something ago, I was watching the Pop the Balloon New York edition. I don't know if you've seen the New York edition. That shit is hilarious.
Maybe we send each other clips from that or something?
Yeah, I think that, it was this one cat going in. Like, you know, if that's all it is. It's just slick talk and just shit talking. Nah, fuck that. What you talking about? Da-da-da-da-da. It's a lot of back and forth. But it is hilarious. It's way more animated than, because neither one of them, nobody want to take the loss. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
it turns,
it's just aggressive from the door. You know, so that shit turns out to be funny. But I found myself watching it and I was just like, you know, and you know, I got into, you know, there are people literally, because I don't dismiss is the best word for it, but I guess I kind of summed it up as a lot of people just doing it for the look. You know what I mean? Get on camera and boost whatever they doing. But
not really trying to find nobody.
Right. But then I was watching some of these episodes, you could kind of see that some of these people like were really, really down for it. You know, there was a lot of people that weren't. There's a lot of people that like, they were nitpicking and pulling anything out as a flag or whatever. But then it was some people that, like, it was almost earnest. You're like, oh, wow, they really trying to find love. And what I also appreciated was just how people represented themselves, right? You know, some people would, it was just interesting to see the various shades of, I guess you could call it courtship or wanting to be chose or whatever, the you know, pick me Olympics or whatever. But it was like, some people were just like, nah, this is who I am, you know? And I'm weird or I'm eccentric or I'm very judgy or I got strong boundaries, but this is where I stand. And this is how I'm coming across. And if you like it, cool. But if not, it is what it is. And I respect it, though. Some for better or worse. You know, like when people were just like, well, fuck it. This is who it is. Because then I'd also see the other side of that where, like, you felt like people were just saying whatever it said. Like, they were just kind of just trying to G their way through the shit. You know, like, just right, trying to get picked. And it just kind of came across real bland or whatever. But, yeah. I was watching quite a few of those.
Hey, man, sometimes it's great to veg out like that.
Yeah.
You don't have anything on the calendar.
Yeah, felt good. Yeah.
I watch a lot of those reactor people. There's a couple people that I like. I mean, I like River TV and JR Wisdom. Like, they'll react to stuff that happens on TikTok or whatever somebody posting or some pop the balloon type stuff. But yeah, I've seen it would be interesting to watch a whole. How long are the episodes? It's like half hour.
Nah, that shit. I watched one episode. That shit was an hour and a half. It was like, oh damn, a feature length movie. I watched the whole episode, but there was this one cat, and this was an old episode, but there was this one cat, I forget his name. This shit was like at least 10 months ago. But it was this one cat that was fucking hilarious. He was just like one of them people that was just, listen, I am who I am type shit, right? So they got into this thing where, I guess, somehow, I don't know how it came up, but I don't know if one of the women said it or something about, somehow somebody said something about skydiving. And he was like, listen, I'm not skydiving. That's not going to happen. And that, like, women was popping, and, you know, and a lot of women were like, well, I don't understand it. If you're not, you know, the way that you just dismissed skydiving, it just felt like you weren't supporting people. He was like, listen, you could skydive just to support you. I don't got to do what you do. Like, he just had a whole lot of funny, like, he had some funny shit. One thing that got a lot of pops was, you know, he was saying, yo, what don't you like? And he was like, I don't like a woman that doesn't know the difference between a good wig and a bad wig. It was just which is fucked up shit. I guess it's fucked up to say because it's very superficial. So he got some pops. Pap, pap, pap. He was like, that shit is a disorder. You know, he was just off the chain. But what was funny was, as wild as he was still kind of winning. Like, he had this one woman who was holding on for so long. Everybody was popping, pop. And he would go up to them, and, you know, that's the funny part of the show, because they say, so why did you pop? And then this is what's funny. Some people, they keep it on the up and up, and they be, like, kind of generic about why. You know, they try to play it diplomatic. Well, you guys, you know, you women are all beautiful, and it's just the vibe. You know what I mean? It's just the vibe. And then there's some people that are, like, they be shady as shit. Like, they be saying shit, but saying it in a way to where they getting it off, but they're not super aggressive. And then there's the motherfuckers that's aggressive. Like, nah, Jordy, your feet, they look crazy, or you look like me. That's what one of the dudes said on the New York shit. They said, yo, you look like me with a wig on. And the whole line was like, yo, nah, now that you said that, pop, 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 pop. Everybody, it's just.
That's fucked up.
It's just ridiculous shit. It's super ridiculous. It was funny, though. But I looked up. I was like, damn, that shit was an hour and 27 minutes. I can't believe I watched that whole shit. You know, that's probably, if I've ever watched, I don't think I've ever watched one from beginning to end, but if I have, this one was the longest for sure. I like it, an hour and a half. I was like, damn, that's ridiculous. I was watching that, and then I started watching Task finally, like, waited till it was over and after the fact or whatever. And I'm probably about three episodes in. I like it so far. I'm into it.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's a good show. I liked it. I just think.
Whoa. You know, come on, brother. No,
I'm not going to spoil. Okay. I'm not going to spoil. I just say it's no Mayor of Easttown, but I still like it.
All right. Bet. Fair enough.
Fair enough. Still very good.
Yeah. That's what's up. You watching anything good?
Man, what am I watching? I'm watching The Morning Show. I've been liking that. I started watching Derry. Welcome to Derry last night.
Okay. So, what you think? I've heard. Go ahead.
It's solid so far. I like that it's black folk in it.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Chris Chalk, black actor. He's in it. It's like Taylor Page is, I think, going to be in the second episode. So
okay.
I've only seen the first episode. It's promising. You know, I think they're trying to, you know, obviously it's Stephen King from his oeuvre, but it's still, you know, trying to give you the what made Stranger Things so, you know, elite in its infancy, you know, if you will. But like, it's fun. It's interesting. And there's like a lot of folklore and stuff to be broken down on the YouTubes after you finish an episode. So
got it.
You know, I like it so far.
It's a retro type of thing.
I think it takes place in the '80s, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. You say Stranger Things, that's what I was just asking. Is it like
it's definitely retro. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's definitely, I'm gonna confirm what decade, but
yeah. Yeah, shout out to my man, Stephen Ryder. He's a friend of mine who's on the show. I've been meaning to check it out. Just to support that cat. You know what I mean? He's been doing this thing for a while. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, see, he's on that joint. So, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Actually, 62.
Oh, wow. 62. Okay. All right.
So, it's even worth further back.
I didn't even know it had anything to do with it at first. I just kind of saw the it part of the title. I always saw Welcome to Derry. Yeah, okay. Maybe they added that.
Me, like, 3 days ago. Bro.
Yeah. Maybe they added that to get more people, because I think maybe it was always marketed as Welcome to Derry, which is like a real, you know, it is what it is. But it obviously has a lot more IP to it. So we'll see. We'll see what's what, man. Anyway. What else is cracking with you, Pop?
We talked movies. The last movie I saw was Begonia.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
was, yeah. I saw that in the theater.
How was that?
I liked it. It's dark comedy. I gave it 4 stars on Letterboxd. Stavros Halkias, comedian, is in it. So that was pretty neat.
He got a nice little part. He plays a cop, right? Or something like that.
He plays a cop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a Yorgos Lanthimos film. The most recent joint that he did. Most recent ones were Poor Things, Kinds of Kindness came out last year.
Challengers.
Challengers, no, that was that's my man. Oh my god.
Ludwig or something like, maybe I'm bugging. Okay.
Luca Guadagnino.
Right, okay. That's, I got him confused. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's good. It's funny. The swerve at the end is like, oh shit. It'll make you really, it's like, oh, okay. And it kind of has like a, and then once you get to the end, it's like a more of a deeper meaning, I guess, that's supposed to be a little more sobering. But it's Emma Stone is great as always. Jesse Plemons, to me, Jesse Plemons has always been a very good actor, but with this one, man, it seems like he's locked the fuck in. He's great in this, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got maybe a Best Supporting Actor nomination out of this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know about Emma Stone because she already got 2 of them joints, so it's still a great performance, but I don't know if she's going to get, you know, nominated for it. It seems like this year, there's been some really good movies, but we're late in the year. It's almost like, I haven't seen anybody really come with that heat. And so it's seeming like, you know, I feel like Sinners can get over with some of these awards, man. I feel like it could go wire to wire, just like, I was trying to explain on another podcast how it just had the same steam as Everything Everywhere All at Once did, where you could go wire to wire from your release to still being in award season. It's been put into the movie theaters again twice already for the one because of the demand on the IMAX, mm-hmm. two because of the spooky season, Halloween and all that. So it's still in people's minds and everybody's still trying to compare their movie to Sinners or say why it's not as good as X or Y or Z. So it's still in people's minds, you know. And I appreciate that there's some of these movies, even though I really enjoyed it, you and I talked about it, One Battle After Another, mm-hmm. how we really enjoyed it. That joint didn't make its budget back. Mm. It's considered to be a flop, just like the Bruce Springsteen joint is considered to be a flop where they only made $30 million and it cost $55 million to make. And you know, Sinners made its money back. That's all I'm gonna say, y'all. You know,
there it is. Better on Black. I didn't even realize the Bruce Springsteen movie came out yet. I thought it was still slated
2 weeks ago.
Oh shit!
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh well. Yeah. That's interesting. We'll see. I've been meaning to rewatch Sinners. I've only seen it the one time that I was in the theater. I've been meaning to rewatch. Is it still on HBO Max?
It's still there. Okay. And I gotta watch. I mean, I got the special edition,
right?
4K Blu-ray. So I want to see that. But it's just, you know, I'll still be trying to see the new stuff. But
right.
I definitely want to go back and watch it because they did say even on the Blu-ray, they've got those aspect ratio shifts, even though it's not the same as being in the theater.
Uh-huh.
But it's still, you know, it's still going to be dope.
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody and they were saying that was their favorite movie of the year. It's definitely up there.
It's up there for me. I'm going to have to reassess, but it's easily up there for me. But and I would say One Battle is right up there too.
Yeah, that was a good movie. That was a good movie.
Yeah.
It had me on a Paul Thomas Anderson run, watching a bunch of his shit, and I know that's your guy.
What'd you watch?
I watched, I think I told you, I watched, I watched a couple things, but what was the most?
The Master, I remember we talked about.
I watched The Master, and I realized when I was watching it, I watched it before. It was fine, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched Inherent Vice. And yeah. It went into that. It was whatever. And then I watched There Will Be Blood finally. I never seen There Will Be Blood.
Oh, you never saw it. What'd you think?
It was cool. It was cool. Yeah. It was a great, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis did his thing overall.
Yeah.
It was okay. It wasn't a bad movie, but it was just like, it was really about the performance. Similar to The Master. You know, like mm-hmm. It was about the performance. Like, he knows how to get great shit out of the actors. But the story was okay. Mm-hmm. I think I'd have to think about it, but like One Battle After Another is one of his better films. You know, I haven't seen Boogie Nights in a long time ago. I remember loving Boogie Nights. That was crazy. Magnolia, even way back then, I just felt like that shit was way too long and it was just a lot going on. And I haven't watched this since, shit, what was it, 20 years probably. And then Punch Drunk Love. That's another one. I went to watch, and again, he got a great performance out of Sandler. But the movie was whatever to me. You know what I mean? It is what it is. I know people feel strongly about it. I don't want no smoke with nobody. But that's just what I've.
I like it. I know what you mean, man. Yeah. Like it because. This movie, One Battle, is kind of making everybody put his stuff into perspective. And I mean, I really liked Hard Eight.
That was cool.
I'm looking at it, and that was a smaller story. And then he's kind of doing that. Like, the first time I heard people compare him to filmmaker Robert Altman is because Robert Altman did this film. Shortcuts.
Oh, okay.
He did Nashville. Shortcuts. Was that Shortcuts was 1993? Mm. Oh, wow. Okay. So Shortcuts was a 1993 film. And it was...
Who was in that? I remember the name. Who was in that movie?
Julianne Moore, Robert Downey Jr. Jack Lemmon, Tim Robbins.
Okay.
I'm going to try to get this, I'll read this Google blurb. Many loosely connected characters cross paths in this film based on the stories of Raymond Carver. Waitress Doreen Peugeot accidentally runs into a boy with her car. Soon after walking away, the child lapses into a coma. While at the hospital, the boy's grandfather tells his son Howard about his past affairs. Meanwhile, a baker starts harassing the family when they fail to pick up the boy's birthday cake. So it's like all these interconnected stories. And so the first time I saw Magnolia, and you start doing your research, like, oh, what is this like? This is like Robert Altman's Shortcuts. And then I will always say, like, Altman-esque, when you have like a lot of characters interwoven into one big story and how they're all connected. So Magnolia was the first film that I saw that was like that. And I like Magnolia a lot. I do want to revisit, but I want to get it on like Blu-ray or DVD, like the salute. And yeah, man, like I appreciate that. And I don't know. I have to really sit down and think about what is my favorite. And I'd be hard pressed to really leave one ballad after another out of the top five or out of the top three, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, Quick and Dirty might be Boogie Nights, One Battle. Shit, see, that's hard as fuck. Maybe Magnolia, because I spoke so much on it. But like, Boogie Nights was the same in a lot of ways too.
Yeah, with a bunch of different characters.
Yeah.
To that point, I've definitely, because I've heard people will compare him to Robert Altman, and I was reading somewhere where I think somebody was like, I think it was Roger Ebert was like, he's the most natural director of all time. You know, like, I've been exploring this quote unquote canon, you know, like, I'm seeing if it is what it is, but I'm going to see if I agree with a lot of it. So I got Nashville by Robert Altman, which I hear is a good one. I'm gonna check that out. And I think I got something else, but that's what I've been on, you know, outside of like more of the contemporary films. I've definitely been looking at some of these old films, whether that's prompted by some of these conversations based on some of the new films and who inspired them, or these Criterion Collection videos or whatever. But like, so I've just been watching a lot of these so-called, and I don't even say so-called, but some of these masters, the canon, some of these movies that are very important in the form and things like that, and see what's the appeal. Does it hold up? Is it really that interesting? Do I get it, or is it overblown? Whatever. Similar to like music and all of that, you know, sometimes.
For sure.
You know, you just do that. You'd be like, oh, I heard this kid was ill, or I heard this person was one of the greats. Let me listen to their catalog. And sometimes you get with it, sometimes you don't, you know? So.
Yeah. That's how I feel. You and I have the on mic, off mic conversations about like what's, just because the whites think it's great doesn't always mean. And you know, like I try to think about like, because even like somebody like Spike Lee, where I think people will talk shit about Highest to Lowest, I had fun. And maybe that's the outcome in me, but like there were some things that, you know, you could say, I just think he's always got some really good shit in there. Right. Like how people didn't like She Hate Me. And I was like, oh, no. He's just grinding a lot of, he just has a lot of access to grind sometimes, but I fucked with it, you know? Like, I still enjoyed that movie, you know what I mean? Like, it's always gonna have some good shit, because I put Spike Lee up there with, like, with the Paul Thomas Andersons. I think, like, they're, how old is, P.T. Anderson might not even be 60 yet, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But as far as my favorites, he's 55. Spike Lee is how old? Spike Lee, 68. So 13 years. That's kind of close. But as far as like when I started liking movies, it was Spike Lee. It was P.T. Anderson. Maybe there's a couple other ones. Singleton, to a lesser degree, not to shit on him, but I'm thinking, like, I'm talking about somebody that was like pumping movies out. You know what I'm saying? That was like, actually, let me see. Let me not be a dick. Let me see. Now you got me on a run here, Sean. No, you know what? No. No, Singleton's got to be there too, in a way. I mean, Boys in the Hood, Poetic Justice, Baby Boy. 8 years between Poetic Justice and Baby Boy. But then you had, no. Higher Learning was 95.
Yeah.
I mean, that's three that's really fucking strong. And I think Baby Boy was strong. I like Baby Boy also.
Yeah. Nah,
Rosewood. Did he direct Rosewood?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's got to be considered. See, that's why I wanted to check myself. He's got to be considered to be a generational talent as well. So it's just like I look at all those guys the same. Like, do I like your stuff? Like Tarantino, like all that stuff. Around the same time when I started liking movies, I consider those guys like the greats. And I think, you know, Chris Nolan, that's another, it's like a different generation. Yeah. And I think Ryan Coogler is like in this, you know, new generation.
There's a long list, honestly. There's a long list. I mean, there's plenty of people that are out there that are killing it that we're not even, you know, thinking of in this moment. Like, you know, and it's all subjective. Some people love, you know what I mean, who they love. And, that's the beauty of it all, you know.
It's fun. It's fun to talk about. Yeah, man.
But, I'm trying to think of anything else. Anything else I want to chop it up, which I saw... Did you see, this is something that I looked at. Well, two things.
Let's do it, man.
One thing is, I don't really want to get into all of this. I don't want to go too crazy, but I'm not, you know, like, it feels like politically, you know, and this is the thing. With this whole Zoran thing, right? Like, part of the reason that if he wins, I feel like it'd be cool morale-wise here in the city. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And even broader than that, because it seems like there's so many people that are invested in this, the energy that he's bringing, right? And the fact that it's so different than what's going on nationally, right? You know, in the midst of... I feel like a very vindictive era of Republican politics, very partisan politics, you know, with this whole government shutdown going on and SNAP and, you know, various things and, like, being shut down. And, like, there seems to be like a fucking dickhead era where, like, some of these politicians are basking in the fucking cruelty of it all, you know, and not mm-hmm. only just basking in the cruelty, but also doubling down on the misinformation and the distorted narrative. And the thing about, from what I've seen, you know, over the last few years, that shit is effective. You know, you tell somebody mm-hmm. a lie long enough, they think it's the truth. You know what I mean? Especially a lot of people are not even... you know, like doing research and what they're reading and things of that nature. And they just kind of get caught up in either the hype, the hysteria and everything else. So it's just like, it's a crazy fucking time, you know? And I've been saying the last few weeks that I've been trying to kind of fall back from a lot of the clips and the news of it all, because I feel like a lot of it is it gets me tight. You know what I mean? Like, it makes me very upset. So like when I see this shit, it just feels like culturally it's like evil white men are back. heavy, like heavy, and yeah. with like you know, like, and I was joking back in the day, like it's like '80s, like the '80s when you seen like these villain type characters, you know, fuck those people that don't have it. You know, greed is good, Gordon Gekko types, and even beyond that. Yeah. And it's just like, man, we stepping on necks. And, you know, if unfortunately, if you ain't got it, fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? And we, right. we leaning in, and like, you got a, you know, you got a president that's just like, you know, they asked him about some of the cruelty in which these ICE agents are apprehending innocent people, and are they going too hard? And he was like, yo, they ain't going hard enough. You like, yo, this shit's wild.
Damn.
This is, just, it's a fucking, it's some real no mercy shit. You know, me and a couple friends of mine, we call this shit resilient season, because I really feel like they're pressing people, and they really testing your mettle. You know, and it's a fucking tough time. That's why I didn't even really want to get into it, because it's almost like, tell us something we don't know. Everybody got, you know, I don't say everybody got the same algorithm, but I feel like if we talking about what's killing on the algorithm, you know what I'm saying? If there was an algorithm billboard, all of this bullshit is definitely in the top three. So you've seen at least some slice of it. And, it's just you know, it's a whack fucking time, to be totally honest with you. And I don't know, it's just it would be cool, you know, and it's just a little bit. It's just a little I guess respite or whatever if Zohran would win. Like, it'd be, you know, something, you know, it's not like another Trump pawn, you know, whatever the fuck. But I don't even like getting, I'm kind of even low-key, not even low-key, because I'm saying it on the microphone, but I'm falling back from a lot of this, like, the political discourse. I'm just here and there. It's tightened me up. I don't even like talking about this shit no more. But how you feel about this shit?
Well, I feel like you did the discourse with crunching those ballots, man. And that's the thing that we have to do, and we have to keep doing. I know you sent me that joint with that clip of Eddie Murphy and Arsenio going back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really good clip. And, man, it's like I've kind of withdrawn in a lot of ways, too. And I'm on the Twitter, and my algorithm set up as far as to see, you know, what's going on, what people are saying. I get New York Times, I get the updates, and I read here and there and pick around and whatever, a la carte type stuff. But we just have to keep voting, keep talking about this stuff. Like, it's not good. And you see a lot of comics that had him, Trump and his cronies, on their podcast trying to walk back what they did. It's like, no, you did this shit. You helped this. And it's like, you can't run from that shit now. Now you're going to act like, oh, you didn't know? And people get mad at, like, Marc Maron for speaking on it and saying things like, no, you said that shit. You said it with your chest. And because you didn't think anything would happen to you, and because you are of the elite, or of, not necessarily elite skill-wise, but of the elite, upper class, or the one percenters, that you're not affected. So I think a lot of people that didn't think they could get touched are getting touched now, and they're starting to reap what they sow. And it's like a lot you hear a lot of Black people opt out, and I understand why they do, because it's like that pursuit of whiteness that people, that I felt that was about, that I felt one battle after another was about, that was one of the themes. It just causes you to let your morals go, and you don't really care about it. And I've been saying it for a long time. People just don't have empathy for one another. And because of that, people vote against their interests, and a lot of that shit is backfiring on them, and they're taking away, you know, you know, Shay had to say something about it on Instagram about SNAP benefits and all of that stuff. Try to make poor people bad, and it's just a lot of shit, man. It just makes me, it makes me angry, and I try to filter that anger through what I do with comedy and the stuff that I talk about, and try to just play my part in that way and vote for who I think is gonna steer us back in the right direction. And as Black people, we've done that in worse of times than this. You know what I'm saying? So people, you people have to realize that as well, I think.
Yeah. Nah, it's definitely that. And I, beyond even just politically, I do think that one thing that we need to realize is community is king, and community is definitely necessary right now, because, you know, even before this second Trump term, I noticed during the pandemic, that's when it was really stark to me that, like, the government, you know, they're going to do what they can, or they might not, you know, like, sometimes they can't all the way help. Like, you realize how felt how on your own things were, you know, and in those times, that's when you really need to kind of learn your neighbor's name. You know what I'm saying? Like, build that community, like, stop looking past each other, you know, like, not only just empathy, but humanity, you know, because if you get caught on this rugged individualism shit, yeah, that shit will probably bite you in the ass. You know, and a lot of people aren't really voting against their best interest. They think that this is going to work for them until it don't, you know, and so then that just, that's a whole nother thing. But I don't want to get into all of that. I will say this, the last thing that I'll say, that it just was very interesting to me too, and I'm happy that it's not going down. But I saw that the Jake Paul tank fight has been canceled. And,
I didn't even know.
And I'm fucking happy. And then I just saw that last night, but then I saw today, old Jake Paul tried to get on his high horse and shit on Javante, talking about he's a devilish man, which is crazy choice of words. He's a devilish man, and he's terrible. He's an abuser, and, you know, I look out for women and this, that, and the other thing. Kind of, I guess that's why the thing is not going on. First of all, I think it's all bullshit. You know what I mean? I'm happy the fight is not happening, because I felt like from the onset, Tank is in his prime, and I don't think his status and his ability should be exploited by this fucking carny on a certain level, right? And I think that what happened was, you know, it's all speculation, but there's people that feel like Tank might have tried to knock this motherfucker out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think it was going to be we taking a dive type of thing. It could be that. Then, from what I see, like, when I see this little Instagram story with Jake Paul talking about he's an abuser and all of this, you should have known that prior to signing this contract, because this is nothing new. You know, I don't absolve him or say, you know, like, you know, whatever the fuck, like, co-sign any of that. But you knew who you were dealing with. But now it seems as though you can't exploit this man, or, you know, or my man got more leverage than you thought. You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, the plan doesn't go as you thought it was. So now you're going to shit on him. That's sucker. That's some sucker shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, quietly, I think Tank might have got the best of this. Even then, like, just, you know, I just was walking, because I totally forgot about it because I wasn't really that interested. But I was walking past, like, a bus stop, and I seen a big-ass bus joint with Tank and Jake Paul, like a Netflix ad and whatever. Not to say that Tank didn't have a high profile, but, like, you know, boxers, I mean, boxing fans know who the fuck he is, but, you know, maybe some of the mainstream, the people that Jake might have brought on, now his profile is even higher than that. And it's like, he got that without, you know, being exploited for his talent on a certain level. That's just how I look at it. And I'm happy that the shit is, it's not happening, you know, and you know, it is what it is. That's that. That's that. did you have any feelings on that? I know that's a DMV cat. He out there out of Baltimore. Did you have any thoughts on the Tank J Paul thing, or did you even know about it or whatever?
No, I didn't even, I have not really been in to boxing since maybe like Roy Jones Jr. retired, man. But I didn't know Tank Davis, right?
Mm-hmm. Javante Tank Davis, yep.
Javante.
You ain't gotta look it up. You do the radio silence when you be looking it up. We ain't got.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think, but okay, yeah, because he is okay. Look, I know who he is. Okay, I had to see his face.
Yeah,
but I didn't realize they were fighting. I didn't realize it got canceled.
Yeah. All right. Well,
and did this go down today? It just went down today.
I think it was canceled last night or something like that. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's that. Anyway. Chris, you got anything you want to say while we get up out of here? Anything you want to promote?
Oh man, thanks for having me.
No doubt.
I'm on this Friday. I'm on the 5th. No, November 7th at 8 p.m. I'm going to be at the grand opening of the Newark Culture Club, doing the Brick City Comedy Review, 8 p.m. You can follow me on Instagram at Chris Lamberth and for the link, get tickets. It's going to be a fun show, man. Alonzo Hamburger Jones is going to be there.
Hamburger. So. All right.
Back. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. And special hopefully coming out in February, if not sooner, because things are so, kind of coming, coalescing in a nice way. It might be out by the end of the year, but if not, probably my birthday weekend.
All right. What's that? February? That's in February?
Yeah, February. So things are coming together with this special.
Okay.
You know, when you try to, when you don't have a huge production company, you do a dolo and you got to outsource. So I just got the album cover pictures in. So I got to, you know, whittle that down, figure out, you know. So, we working over here, man. But I'll let you know. And I'd love to come back on to promote it. But yeah, catch me around at the Comedy Cellar and Newark Culture Club, Newark, New Jersey. It's safe, guys. Downtown Newark is safe. It's safe. It'll be a good time.
All right. That's what's up. Yeah, definitely come back on when the special drops. We'll have you back. Comedy in Harlem, November 14th. What's that? Friday, November 14th, New York Comedy Festival. Damian Lemon and Friends. It should be a vibe. Tickets are on sale now. DamianLemon.com, ComedyInHarlem.com. Around the city, spots. And that's it. You know, shit. I'll be here next week. You know, and as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Hello, 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 hello.